The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with one plus negotiations and one plus cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have an interview with the one and only Angie K from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I'll also be sharing my thoughts on that drama involving Shannon Medore and Joel Kim Booster coming out of the upcoming Peacock dating show, apparently called Love Hotel, and Shannon is on it with Giselle and Ashley from Potomac, as well as Countess Luann. We don't know much about it, but we did find out this weekend that Joel Kim Booster is the host of it, and he is going off on Shannon Medore. So I'll be sharing my thoughts on that in a second. But it was really great to finally get some time to interview Angie, who I've chatted with a good amount online, but we've never done an interview and we've never met in person. And the thing that I really appreciate about Angie is that she isn't afraid to show that she is really happy to be a Real Housewife. She isn't too cool about it. She isn't above it. This isn't kind of below her pay grade. This is something that she's wanted, that she's been invested in doing for years. She was persistent and worked her way into it. And she's now on her second season as a full-time wife, holding the center snowflake and winning over a lot of the audience who wasn't super sure about her when she first came onto the scene. From my end, I admire that tenacity. And I don't think it's something that she should be ashamed of or embarrassed by, as so many people online seem to imply. Because, you know, there was this clip that came out last week from an interview with Bryce Sander at ET, who, by the way, will be on the show later this week. The clip went viral where she said that she cried when she got center snowflake. She also told me that in this interview as well. And you know what? I might cry of happiness over that too. After all, this is her job. It's a career. It's something that you have to prove that you're good at in order to keep the job. And Angie K auditioned for season one of this show. She eventually became a guest and then a friend and then a housewife and then center snowflake holder for her second full-time season. And to me, that's a pretty cool trajectory. And it basically means that she's been promoted every year she's been on the show. And that's not something that many people can say. Who among us wouldn't want to be promoted every year in our jobs anyway? Would you make fun of someone who cried of happiness over a promotion at their job in tech or in sales or some other industry? Dunking on Angie for that, to me, feels a little bit misogynistic if you ask me. And Angie already has signature, memeable, campy things associated with her, which is more than can be said about a lot of people after just their second season on Real Housewives. The giant sunglasses, that weird little walk she did last season, the Greek mafia thing, being the Angie that overcame the other Angie to stay on the show. I could go on. I've historically been a Meredith and Lisa guy and probably always will be to some extent. I have a soft spot for them. But I also genuinely love Angie and the rest of this entire cast. Heather and Whitney bring so much to the show too, as do Mary and Angie. The newbies are promising. They're all great at their jobs. And they would honestly all make sense as center snowflake at some point or another. But good for Angie for nabbing it for this season. Anyway, before we get to my chat with her, I did want to discuss this thing going down with Joel Kim Booster, who you may recognize from his various appearances on Watch What Happens Live over the last few years. He's very outspoken with his opinions about The Real Housewives, which is, I think, refreshing to many people. He also was the star of Fire Island on Hulu, that gay rom-com from a couple years ago. Or you may just have recognized him from being a comedian or internet personality who posts a lot on social media. I don't normally do much scrolling on Twitter over the weekends to preserve my mental health and give myself a break. But this Sunday, let's just say that I had some time. And I happened to see a Bravo fan account posting screenshots of him going off about Shannon Medore on his Instagram story. And again, before this, we didn't really... I don't think we knew that Joel was hosting this Love Hotel show. So this whole thing was like a shock for a variety of reasons. But let me read you what he posted on his Instagram story via three different slides. He said in white text over a black background, Just because you're a pathetic drunk on a reality television show best known for a string of failed relationships and a DUI does not make you a star and does not give you license to treat the people you work with like they are subhuman. Period. They will make me delete this, but DM me if you'd like to see some videos. Bezos. Well, that was quick. Anyway, don't regret it and hope you screenshot it. Hope she suffers. Well, let's just say I can't imagine what John Jansen went through. Poor guy. And then he also apparently went on Instagram Live. So this was a string of messages that was sent to Bravo historian, aka Samantha Bush, another friend of the pod. I'm going to be on her show this week as well. Before I read this, it's interesting that he apparently went on Instagram Live and talked about this, but I have yet to see any clips from this Instagram Live. But these are the messages that Sam Bush posted that she got. Sam, I had no idea Joel Kim Booster was hosting Housewife Hotel or whatever it's called. He just went on live and cooked Shannon Bedore. Like he roasted her, chopped her up, and served her for breakfast. Said she had been a terror for the entire 3 weeks, humiliates the crew, was hideous to him, and that at the wrap party just a few hours ago, she was terrible to someone he really loves. And he got in her face and said, "You think you're a star? People don't like you. They pity you." And then he said, "The daughters are just as bad." Okay, so obviously a lot to unpack here. Let's just say this first. Clearly, something happened. Clearly, Shannon acted badly and treated people poorly from his perspective, and none of what I'm about to say excuses whatever that was and whatever she did. I hate the idea of production and producers and the film crew or Joel's friend being treated poorly. He also posted, by the way, a photo with said friend, and he wrote over the top of it, and this is paraphrasing, "Love you to death. I would go to war for you." That's what he said. "I would go to war for you." So I believe him. I believe that Shannon must have done something or treated people badly. He's not just going to make something like this up and risk his job for that. Sorry. So all of the people blindly supporting Shannon and all of this, I'm not doing that. However, that does not mean that this is also not an extremely unprofessional thing to do by the host of the show, no less. Airing this out publicly like you're a real housewife, you didn't go to HR first or report it up the ladder first. I mean, think about it. Think about how much Andy Cohen, who has hosted Watch What Happens Live for 15 years, he's hosted every single Real Housewives reunion for over 15 years. How many times do you think he has seen poor behavior? And again, this is not excusing it, but it kind of feels like some alleged diva-like behavior comes with the territory. And I've seen, like, this is talent. Talent is talent, right? And so they are treated in a certain way on set. Does that mean they get to treat other people poorly? Absolutely not. But how many times have you seen Andy Cohen take to his Instagram to air out somebody that he's working with, a Real Housewife? Zero. And the first time that Joel's hosting this show involving four Real Housewives, he's taking to his Instagram story. It's extremely short-sighted. It's unprofessional. It's ill-advised, in my opinion. It felt really off the cuff and kind of posted without thinking. I mean, wishing her suffering? Isn't that exactly what we all roasted Louis on Real Housewives of New Jersey for saying about Margaret's son? Now the host of a show is wishing the other talent suffering. The John Jansen comment, saying poor guy and now he understands what he went through. Saying that her daughters are just as bad. Like, why are we dragging the daughters into this? I mean, they must have been involved in the filming or something. But also, without any context or actual details about what he observed, we're all sort of just left to fill in the blanks collectively as a fandom. And guess where this fandom is right now? Generally speaking, the fandom is at a place where they're ready to go to war for Shannon, to borrow his wording. Whether that's completely merited or not is subjective, but that's the reality. So it's ill-advised at best to say this kind of thing about her right now. And also, we have no bearing for how serious whatever he's apparently seen Shannon do is. What's her side of the story? And again, that's not to defend her bad behavior, but did it merit this public airing out? I also found that, like, his demeaning of Shannon's job, I found that to be quite shocking. He gave the impression that he has very little respect for Shannon's career. And if he feels that way, why is he always going on Watch What Happens Live and speaking to the shows? Why is he hosting a show involving four longtime housewives if he doesn't respect what they do, if he looks down on them in this way? There's just something about that that really irked me as well. So I posted some of my initial thoughts, the kind of two things can be true line on Threads about this. And my friend Kate Arthur from Variety, who has been on Gabbing with Gib before, she posted and said he's apparently been talking about it in another podcast's private Discord channel, which I have no details about. I have not seen screenshots of that. I'm not going to name the podcast because to me, Discords like that are safe spaces for those podcasts. And I know they're not meant to be screenshotted or shared externally. So that's all I'll say about that. I don't even have any more details about it. But also, in her comment to me, she said that he has apparently been posting in the Las Culturistas subreddit, which is very public, and his username is Fake Joel Kim Booster. He has since deleted these comments, but again, they were made publicly and they were screenshotted. So this is what he said, I think, on Sunday after everything sort of blew up. He allegedly said, "I regret the hyperbole and obviously the John slide, but I don't regret the sentiment. Bravo is annoyed, but not nuclear, and ultimately at risk of inflaming things more, that's all I'll say. She hurt and humiliated publicly someone I love after 3 weeks of systematic abuse, and I was overserved and angry. I wish I could say that's not me, but it is. I accessed the deepest, ugliest part of myself and stooped lower than she did. I do regret that. But reality is not what I do. I'm not worried about anything but my DMs." And then I think the original poster of the thread said, "I appreciate your input. I'm bummed at people commenting stuff about your professionalism or mental health on this thread. I only wanted to get the tea. That's all. If you want me to delete the thread, I will. Just let me know. Wishing you the best." I don't know what the rest of the thread had, but he said, "I'm fine. I'm used to it. I'm about to be home with my partner after 3 of the loneliest weeks of my life, feeling very unmoored," which definitely played a part. That's kind of what we know. I also spoke about this on Carlos King's podcast this week, Reality with the King. That's out today, Tuesday, I believe, in addition to the Ryan and Tamara lawsuit stuff that popped up on the weekend. But yeah, those are my main thoughts on this Joel Kim Booster thing. I stand by finding it unprofessional. I don't know the realities of whatever his mental health journey is. I don't know the realities of whatever Shannon, you know, apparently did on set. I'm not going to speak to those things, so we don't have the details. But, you know, threatening to release videos if people DM him, saying that he hopes she suffers, saying that he sympathizes with John Jansen and you know, poor guy, her daughters are just as bad. Those things, I just don't know how you can walk back from some of those things, again, as the host of a show. And it sounds like it's a show that's supposed to be, you know, light and frivolous and fun. And it's all of a sudden turned into something else. And that seems to be at the fault of both Shannon and him. But who knows? We'll share more, I guess, as we know more. But it, you know, it's been over 24 hours when I'm recording this since the stuff was posted. So I'm guessing they're all going to kind of be silent about it. So yeah, that's enough of that. Let's get to Angie K. We talked all about the first couple episodes of this season, her rise through the ranks on the show, her fallout from Lisa Barlow that we're going to see this season, her friendship with Mary Cosby, why things might never work for her and Meredith Marks as friends, the scroll of it all, when she really felt accepted by this group for the first time, and much more. So keep listening for my interview with Angie K. Tune into The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City on Bravo Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Please follow us at Gabbing with Gib on TikTok and Instagram for clips and memes and more. And we also are on YouTube at youtube.com/@GabbingWithGib, where you can watch all of our interviews and most of our other episodes. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back later this week with a state of the Real Housewives franchises with Bryce Sander, as well as an interview with Dr. Wendy Osefo ahead of Sunday's Real Housewives of Potomac season 9 premiere. I want to gab. Today we're gabbing with Angie K from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Angie has really cemented herself as an integral member of this show, and it's been really fun to watch her rise throughout this. Angie, we just said this. I'm so excited that we finally have some official time together after, you know, two seasons of you being on this show. How are you?
I am great. Even better now, like you said, that I've cemented myself in. I'm not fighting for my life. I'm not being blindsided. No one's trying to ice me out. I have really solid friendships on the cast and I love it. And I think I'm here to stay and I'm having a great, I had a lot of fun last season. It was a whole new experience.
Good. Well, you're also center snowflake this season. So
you believe
what was your reaction to that?
Well, let's just say I cried and I was in complete shock. I wasn't expecting it. I really feel like it's an honor because I'm a hard worker all things in my life. I had a rough start on the show. I think, you know, I had a rough come on. I was resilient though. I stood up for myself. I was my authentic self. And apparently, you know, good karma comes out and, you know, the cream rises to the top. And, you know, I'm honored because I know like it's an incredible cast. So that makes me even more so honored. I did cry. I don't take it lightly. I think I had a great season and it feels so good. So good. Thank you.
Good. I mean, that's a position that like, it might seem, I think to an outsider, like a, you know, something you can just brush off like that actually, it means something. I really do think that. And so you should feel good about that.
Thank you. And I mean, I'm humbled. Like I'm, for me, I never become, you know, like overly confident or, you know, I'm so grateful for it. And, you know, I hope that I make the fans proud. I think it's a 180 from where I started. So that's even more amazing. Everything else in my life, I have had to work hard for everything. I'm self-made. And I think I had to work really hard for this Center Snowflake.
Totally. And I also think that like, even just you as a cast and the show, you're coming off such a landmark season and such a, you know, explosive moment at the end of last season. And it broke through in the zeitgeist in the way that Housewives does only every so often. You guys were all part of that. And I'm curious because there's obviously a contingent of fans who one wanted Monica back and two were like, how could they possibly follow this up? So as somebody who was returning as a full-time cast member, were you ever like, how are we going to follow this up?
Absolutely not. And I say that like, yes, it was a great season, but it was very dark season. And, you know, I'm a business owner. Like I want to work in a safe, healthy environment so that I can be my authentic self. You know, I think we all want to show up to work loving our job and loving who we work with and who we work for and what we're doing. And I think we've seen where shows that, you know, can go dark and toxic, that they can't sustain themselves. And I think for Salt Lake City, had we continued on that trajectory, we would be no longer. So the show is, it's a reality show, which means it's about real friendships, organic friendships. And I don't, you know, our friendships are real. And I think we're still bringing it regardless. We have another incredible season. And, you know, I think people, again, you know, have to love who they work with. And we, you know, we love each other, not all of us, but, you know, for the most part, it's still a great season to me. It may be our best season from what I'm hearing. And we still have an all-star cast. And the cool part about it is the season is focused on all the ladies and everyone is clocked in.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, I said that after that, the premiere 10 out of 10, like I wasn't somebody who was in that sort of worrying camp about like the, you know, your ability to bring it as a cast. Like, I think that was always evident. And so, you know, I thought the premiere was amazing. And we start off with a great moment where you and Mary enter the event together, arm in arm. And it's just, I mean, it's a classic moment, I think, just watching that entrance. And I love the idea that Mary did a 180 on you, Angie, because you told her that she had lipstick on her teeth at the reunion. Do you really think that that is what changed her perception of you?
Well, I watched the scene multiple times because it cracks me up when they ask her about me and her face lights up. It just cracks me up. And she did tell me it was not the lipstick moment.
Okay.
And she said she just liked me and that she felt I was a good person and I was wholesome. And she said, I don't know when it happened, but it happened. But she said it was not the lipstick moment.
Because in the reunion, it does kind of feel like she just sort of flipped in a positive way. So whatever it was.
She did say none of the other ladies would have told me there was lipstick on my teeth. So thank you. So I do believe it had a little something to do with it. And it was just sort of the beginning. And I think we've been able to just see each other for who we are and organically become friends. I love the friendships that are real and organic. And, you know, we didn't have an enemy in common. We weren't aligning for any reason that was calculated. It just happened off camera. And we just had some really funny moments. And we both love to laugh. We're both funny people. I think just we're known for being funny, and that's where we just connect.
Yeah, and I think it's making sense so far. I've seen the first two episodes, and it's like and it feels real. I don't think it feels like an alliance of anything because I also think that like again, you could sort of look at it from the top down and be like, okay, well, you and Mary have gotten close, and then this season we'll see Meredith and Mary kind of fall out. But those are happening at different times, it seems. So those are not connected.
Yes. And I want to be clear about that. Like, you know, even when last season with Lisa, I always support everyone moving on and having friendships. And I don't ever want to intervene in those friendships because, you know, we're a group of friends. So I obviously had nothing to do with that fallout. And I don't try and sway people's opinions, or I don't whisper negative things or work in the dark against other people on or off camera. I don't do that. I want people to be able to think what they want, say what they want, and feel how they want. That's a real friendship. And I think that also makes for a long-lasting friendship when people can be themselves and do what they want. So I never would want to control anyone's feelings about someone else.
Totally, totally. And another part of the reunion, Angie, that was a standout moment was the scroll. And I feel like it was mostly taken well, maybe a little divisive, like in the ether. But like, I thought it was a great cheeky moment for a premiere episode. You know what I mean? It was... I think it was well done. What did you make of Heather and Mary being like, you had too much time on your hands to make this?
Well, I thought it was funny. I mean, the scroll in itself was funny, but to me, their confessionals made it even funnier. And their perception of the scroll and the shock factor behind the fact that I would pull out a scroll was so funny. And it cracked me up. Then, you know, my mind's always working and thinking of funny stuff when I lay in bed, when it actually gets quiet, which is rare. But it's like, you know, there I was. I ordered it off Amazon. I grabbed a Sharpie. It didn't take me long to make. And so there really wasn't a lot of time put into it. But, you know, look, it's all about being light and funny and, you know, proving a point in a funny way.
100%.
Like, you want apologies? I'm willing to give them because I'm always willing to own my stuff. But first, there's a few things that I wanted an apology for. Here they are. She didn't love it. She didn't love it.
No, she didn't love it. I feel like you probably knew that she would love it. But you know what? Obviously, things have been said on either side from you and Meredith's relationship. And I'm curious from your perspective, like why there's, it just feels like there's no hope for you guys to ever sort of see eye to eye or sort of have a breakthrough moment of any sort.
You know, I don't know, Gib, and I'll be honest, because like her husband's a funny guy. And so I thought like, she's got to have a sense of humor, right? Like somewhere in there. And, you know, we're different personalities. I feel truly, and you know what? I'm going to leave it to the audience this season because everyone has a different view. I guess everyone will have to watch and see where it goes. But I feel like I tried. I feel like my husband tried. I feel like we had hopes for a resolution and it's more of the same. So, you know, I went in with good intentions and, you know, I didn't get the outcome I wanted, but I'm also at peace that, you know, I can't be friends with everyone on the cast. And I did my best. And I know that I get along with everyone, like all kinds of people. I'm a people person. I work in the service industry. And I have never had a problem making friends. This is just one friendship that I can't make the breakthrough. And I think I've invested enough time. And it's okay that she doesn't like me. Like it's, I heard she didn't like me before I came on. And you know, I knew nothing about her to make a judgment, but I think we have to look at like a new cast member as like, you know, giving them a chance and giving them grace and getting to know them. And I didn't feel that from her. So, you know, Mary told me, she goes, you know what? You're in the center snowflake, but they put you there. Like, I didn't want to be attacked. I didn't want to like have to defend myself and defend my family, but it just happened. And here I am.
Do you have any inkling of why you think Mary doesn't like you? Like you said, that you heard that before you even joined the show.
Yeah. Well, I heard that she had some plans for me, which says like, you know, look, I think every one of my castmates knows and she did not like me before I even came on. I don't want to say too much because like, I don't want to start, you know, anything that's like, you know, but I don't think I ever stood a chance with her. Let me just put it that way.
So Lisa was on Watch Robins Live after the premiere and she was asked about...
Well, let me back up for 1 second. I heard some things she said about me and I thought, how does she even know my name? She's not from Salt Lake. Why is she talking about me? I'm not even on the show. So she obviously knew who I was before I came on and had some things to say that got back to me. So I know that for a fact. It's fact-based commentary that was made. It really doesn't matter because, like I said, I don't really care what she thinks about me. I'm here and I have my friends on the show.
Right.
Too bad. Her loss.
I'm curious what your reaction was to Lisa on Watch Happens Live saying she was asked about the mafia comment and that sort of accusation that came up last season. And she said that Meredith doesn't owe you an apology because it was Monica who brought it up. What was your reaction to that?
Lisa knows good and well, and we had a conversation, Lisa and I, that they were both involved in off-camera conversations about that topic.
Okay.
So, you know, when you go in the dark, it never comes out on camera, but we all know that that conversation was had off camera. And I'll say it again, the scapegoat is gone. So now she can ask for her apology. She can deny involvement in any of the negative commentary and conversation and just kind of what she does. You know, she does it in the dark and then, but you know, she's starting to do it in the light more now. So I think we'll see that too.
All right. So let's talk about the end of that premiere, Angie, which was like, I had to watch it a couple of times because first of all, the editing was so good. And it was just sort of like, it was sort of just watching a tennis match back and forth in different angles on the table. I watched your interview with Bryce Sander at ET, and you said that you felt as if there was sort of like a conversation that had been had before that dinner about sort of like coming for Whitney, you know, whether that was Heather, Lisa, and Meredith all together. Can you explain why you felt that, or like, was there evidence for that? Or was that sort of like a gut feeling that you had?
Just my intuition. It felt like they all got on the same page. They were all sitting on the same side, and they all had a lot of the same accusations, liar, you know, they were all coming at her with things that some of them, you know, had already done, talked about other people's marriages, and for, you know, certain people throw that out there when they've been doing that for 5 years. So it just felt like they were all on the same page. It's like they all of a sudden like lined up and went at war against Whitney. And, you know, especially because Lisa and, you know, I know Lisa and Heather are in a good place now, but because Lisa and Heather had been in such a bad place, like how are they suddenly like on the same team, you know, firing at the new enemy together? So it felt that way. It felt like a gang up. I witnessed it from the same side that Whitney witnessed it from. So I could just feel the intensity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it definitely felt like there was a phone call had. And I love the girls, but it felt that way to me.
Okay. And then you've said several times that like you brought Lisa's grievances over the Whitney's podcast appearance to Whitney because you wanted Whitney to apologize to Lisa and be aware of it for that reason.
Yeah.
How did you feel about how that sort of played out in actuality of like how it all kind of came out?
It was just funny. And then when they flashed the scene of the doorbell ringing to meet Whitney's, it's like, here's the culprit. And it was funny because, you know, we don't see everything, but I was not bringing any new information forward. Podcast had come out. Lisa was already angry. Lisa had already taken to social media and the press to make commentary and respond to it. So everyone was aware of how Lisa felt at this point. So I didn't really go behind and say anything that Whitney didn't know. One thing I did say that hasn't aired yet, and maybe it will, and it was in that scene, was you probably shouldn't have done it and you owe her an apology. It was the wrong way to go about it. You should have told her how you really feel in person and worked it out. Now you've gone on the podcast and it's going to bite you in the butt. So I had good intentions and I am between them, and you know, Lisa told me a lot about how she felt, and I was just hoping they could reconcile. But it's not like I told Whitney something horrible that Lisa said about her. And number two, it wasn't new information. I was playing with what was already out there in the field. So I don't do that. And I think I've been a really good friend to Lisa and held tight, you know, our off-camera conversations.
So do you feel like Lisa's strong reaction to that? Do you feel like that was like because of how it sort of came out at that dinner and sort of a mangled way, or do you feel like she was like looking for an issue with you?
She thought I was looking for an issue with her, and the way that she was lunging at me, I mean, I'm not being accused of being a gangster in the mafia, and like she was lunging at me and coming at me hard, raising her voice, pointing, accusing me of like having started this shit storm. And I just thought, sit down, what are you doing? Like I don't want to have to match your energy, so sit down and calm down. And it felt like she was automatically assuming the worst of me and assuming that I had done something. And that's kind of an issue that I have, and I'll continue to have with her throughout the season, is like, she doesn't assume the best of me. And that says a lot. Like, I've worked hard to be her friend and to be loyal, and for her not to just assume that I wouldn't do something to hurt her, that hurts me. So it's a lot of time put into a relationship when someone just thinks automatically that like, you're a bad person and that you're trying to hurt them.
Yeah, it was sad to see, as somebody again who like likes both of you guys and you've had a friendship that we've seen in the past two seasons, it was sad to see that like there was such a quick shift, I feel like, in that is clearly going to sort of put your friendship off on like the wrong foot for the rest of the season and to now. Like that it happened very quickly. It really did.
Yeah, and one thing I will tell you, Gibson, is Mary, Heather, and Whitney don't make me prove myself as a friend, and they don't send question things that I say. Like, I had shared something with Mary, for example, and I said, look, this is how it happened. I promise. She goes, Angie, don't even say it. Promise. Like, I know who you are. You don't even need to say that to me. I know you don't lie. I know you're telling the truth. And you never have to like preface a conversation with that. And I thought, wow, that just was so, yeah. It was like, I felt a sense of relief that I didn't have to prove who I was or my friendship. And that's how a real friendship should be. Like, I don't want to be under like a magnifying glass always of someone assuming that like they're waiting for me to make one false move or they're looking for me to do something.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, you guys going into the premiere day, you all got into this like Twitter spat that things were flying, clips were posted, people were replying. It was a lot. But Lisa did reply to your Mystery Man in Park City comment with saying it's John. She posted a video on TikTok. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I'm not on TikTok. I literally just got a TikTok yesterday. My daughter opened it for me.
Well, all it was a video of John and saying that this is the Mystery Man in Park City. And she also said that the Park City guy, and I think to Page Six, she said this, that like it's a guy that she was involved in a lawsuit with. It wasn't a mystery man. What were you insinuating there that you can elaborate on, if anything?
Well, and this is hard. I'm not insinuating anything. There was no negative insinuation. There was just a fact-based something out there that's, you know, a court document that says that she, and I mean, it's out there. I hate to like repeat negative stuff, but that she has owes someone for a credit card that she has made charges on that they opened for her. I didn't say there was any strings attached or anything like that. I just said, well, like, you know, yeah, I do pay for these lips. And let me just tell you, like, there was no need for the two of those girls to gang up on me. I responded with a very funny, my clapbacks will be about me. I don't go at people. Like, Greeks are known to be great dancers. Opa, I'm going to add it to my scroll. Yeah, I said I danced my way to center stage. So who's the backup dancer now, right? It's like, I didn't say that, but I could have. And now I'm saying it. And I guess for me, it's like, look, I hope we all get to stand a turn to stand in the center. You know, we deserve it. But for me, I made it about me. It was fun. It was funny. And then they kept it going and tried to like attack something. And they think they're embarrassing and humiliating me. And it's like, you're not, you know, like to me, it's obvious that it's like the Battle of Thermopylae. It takes thousands of people to take out one Greek. So they obviously feel like we can't do this without the two of us ganging up on her. I'm not into people ganging up on, and it's the same thing that happened at the dinner. And if, you know, they just pick up the phone. I responded in a funny light way and they had to take it to the next level. And from there, I'll admit I got heated, emotions, you know, get high. And I then responded. That's what happens. And that's why Twitter's not good. And that's why I'm not on it a lot, to be truthful. First of all, can I just add, why is Lisa even like, you know, putting herself in the middle of something that she was not supposed to be involved in the first place? So I'm still confused why she interjected into that. It had nothing to do with her. So she just wants me to feel ganged up on, and that's what she does. And you know, I can fight them off by myself. I'm not afraid.
We see in the second episode that you have a sit down and you basically say that like you've seen this movie before and you know, everyone's expected to agree with Lisa. And she kind of says the same thing about you. She says like, she's stopped trying to convince people to think exactly like her. So you're kind of both like thinking the same way about each other, I guess. And it doesn't seem good. She walks out of this lunch or this drinks that you guys have. Is that just more of the same to come? Is that what we're going to see? There's no, like, are there going to be any good moments between you guys this season or is it all?
You know, that there really was no resolve. That was not very rewarding. I think it's like we both left there spinning our wheels.
Yeah.
And I hated that. I was hoping to leave with some resolve. I think there's a couple of good moments ahead. Yeah, you will see some good moments. It's just a little bit of a roller coaster for us. And maybe we're both strong personalities. And
you are.
Maybe we don't want to, you know, have a hard time looking at ourselves. And like, I'm open to feedback if I've done something. But also, you know, when you hurt people along the way and, you know, maybe we both have hurt each other. And that's why, you know, you hope for reconciliation at the reunion. I will say, though, I thought we were in a good place. So last week with the Twitter thing, someone told me she unfollowed me. They saw it on Twitter. I didn't. Mm. And then she came at me with Meredith. So I don't really understand what she's doing. I'm confused. I thought we were sort of in a decent place.
Okay.
About a month ago, because I did check in on her after, you know, she was making headlines. I thought it would be wrong of me not to. So I sent a nice little check-in. I started our interviews and she was fine. And now all this. So I don't know, but yeah, I'm confused. And, but it's telling.
I guess it's the tough thing of like, when you, your jobs are hard because you have to film all this, wait a while, watch it all back on TV, and it all just gets relitigated. And it's like,
yes,
that can't be easy for any of you guys. So maybe it's just all, I don't know. Maybe that.
The worst thing I've done is repeat something that she had already seen online. Then I guess I'm a really horrible person.
You're not a horrible person, Angie. Don't worry.
Future you faces some big expectations. Work out more, go to bed earlier, and most importantly, make smart money decisions. Thankfully, today you has Bank of America. One place with tools and guidance to help balance tasks from budgeting to saving, so you can just be you with big plans. Do more with a bank that asks, what would you like the power to do? Explore our tips and more at bankofamerica.com/futureyou.
Max Bankman, I'm the new doctor.
Welcome aboard the Odyssey.
ABC Thursdays.
This ship is heaven. We're tending to our passengers' dreams. I'm in.
From 911 executive producer Ryan Murphy comes a splashy new drama on a luxury cruise ship with Joshua Jackson and Don Johnson.
It's your job to keep everyone alive.
She's in VFib. 1, 2, 3. Clear.
I have a pulse.
You're going to be okay.
Dr. Odyssey. Thursdays, 9, 8 central on ABC. And stream on Hulu.
Gift the remarkable with Marc Jacobs fragrances this holiday season. From the iconic Daisy and Perfect to the all-new Daisy Wild, Marc Jacobs perfume gift sets include everything she needs to feel special. From her favorite fragrance, plus the matching travel spray, holiday gifts don't get much more perfect than this. So if you're looking for a gift inspiration these holidays, gift the remarkable with Marc Jacobs.
Talk to your specialist about Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, because Botox Cosmetic Day is back on November 20th. For one day only, buy one $50 gift card, get one free, while supplies last. It gets better, because it's not just one day of celebration, but the whole month of November. Refer a friend to Ali, and you'll both get $50 off a Botox Cosmetic treatment. Plus, if you register and get treated during November 1st to 30th, you have the chance to win $10,000. For prescribing information and box warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes entry. Treatment must occur by 12/6. For full official rules, offer terms and conditions, and to join Ali, visit BotoxCosmeticDay.com.
Well, Angie, we're obviously at the very beginning of the season. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of hijinks, I think, from you and Mary. It seems like you guys are going to bring the humor. There's a lot to come with you and Lisa, obviously. What else can you tease in terms of what's to come in this kind of this apparently amazing season 5? It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. You know, I keep saying this, but it's like the entire cast contributes.
Yeah.
There is.
I agree.
Everyone's talked in. There's great energy. Everyone was. You know, the friendships are growing. To me, I've watched season 1 recently because I had never really fully watched it since I've been on. And it's like, wow, everyone has evolved so much. And I think what you see where you get seasoned housewives is they evolve. And, you know, myself being on for 3 years, I've evolved. I think friendships strengthen. People are more, you see more of them. People are more of themselves or more, they become more vulnerable. So I just feel like the cast is really evolved, and it's been, you know, you see that the newbies are all clocking in, and
oh yeah,
they're great. They're bringing a lot of drama. They you know, you saw Brittany just starting fights with little comments that she was just totally clueless about, and then they just blew everything up. And she does that a lot through the season.
It seems like it.
She says things that just put people through the roof, but then she's completely clueless why they're offended. So, but you know what? Hey, it makes for a great show because she's brand content that we had no idea.
Angie, last question for you. You know, I think we've talked a little bit at the beginning and kind of throughout about how like you've really kind of increased your, I feel like you've leaned in more over the years and you've really felt more comfortable in this show. And obviously to a point where like you're right in there with a lot of the OGs. And I'm curious if there was like a moment for you where you first felt more at ease or first felt really kind of like, okay, I'm in this. You know what I mean? I'm curious when that came for you.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. You know, the finale was interesting because Heather said something that really just kind of made me feel emotional. She said, I don't know if you realize this, but we are a group of real friends. And I just like, I felt a part of it because I have feelings for the ladies. I mean, I've known Heather since high school, so I have history.
Yeah.
When I have friends, I love those friends. I bring them into my family. I bring them into my life and I love hard. So when she said that, I thought, you know what, we are, and I am a part of this. And, you know, I deserve to be here. I know who I am. I know what I've contributed to the season. And hearing that, it's like, that's what the show's about, is real friends.
Yeah. And that was a true moment to bring you all together in a different way, I felt. So that was special to be a part. I mean, it was obviously a tough moment, but also that's a special aspect of a silver lining, if you will.
Yeah, it was. It's like women supporting women. Yeah, we go through hard times, but you know, there's a time to draw the line. And even what you said at the beginning is like, you know, we feel safe with each other. There's bad moments, but we feel safe. There's nothing dark, nothing threatening. Like, we actually know if we needed to, we'd have each other's backs.
Yeah. Well, Angie, I think that's we're probably going over time now, but
no, it's okay. I can talk to you all day.
I know. Angie, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. We're seeing a Greek mafia hat.
And I brought you a hat because I thought it was in person, but I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I'll rock the Greek mafia hat any day of the week. So Angie, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Good to see you.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.